Welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. Please head over to our website, bethelbrandon.ca, to figure out how we can best serve you.
And this morning, I really kind of wrestled with what to speak. I was back and forth. Last time I kind of wrestled a little bit between hope and speaking on being kind. And this week I was kind of like, kind, it's kind of wimpy, right? I mean, who does a message on? But during COVID there, I did all those little one-word things, and some of you would have received them. They were one paragraph long and just a really short. If this word could change our world, it would, right? And they had words like love. If everyone in our world knew they were loved, that'd be end of message. You could go home. And I think kind is one of those words that we don't really notice. And even when we receive kindness, a lot of times we don't notice it. So kind of just to highlight, and a lot of times when I speak, I like to say, you know what, I'm preaching to myself, and you guys get to listen in. So if you feel like I'm preaching to you, I'm not. I'm preaching to myself, and you guys get to listen in to where I am a little bit challenged this week and that kind of thing. So it's in the fruit of the Spirit, so it should be important, but like Pastor Mike, and last 2 weeks ago when Pastor Mike spoke was kind of when he confirmed that I was going to keep speaking on kindness, because he spoke on goodness. And I was like, well, if he can speak on goodness, which to me is another one of those kind of behind the scenes sort of, whatever, you know, love, joy, peace, those are like, yeah, good, whatever. Self-control, usually end off strong, but you kind of miss the goodness and the faithfulness and the kindness in the middle there. So if you can put the verse I'm going to use for most of the morning, and I like to get people to read along with me, it kind of gives you an opportunity to preach back at me and I get to hear you. So we're going to read this together. Whenever I've got a verse up, we're going to kind of read it together. So I'm just going to count to three and then if we can read together. So one, two, three. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. Let's pray and we can go home. That's got power, doesn't it? I am unsuccessful at doing those three little things. I'm guessing you, if you're honest, are unsuccessful on days at, sometimes we do really good, sometimes we don't do as good as we would like to do, right? And it almost goes unnoticed. And for me, when I started looking at it, I'm like, well, what does it really mean to be kind? Kind is kind of a, I don't know how to define it. What does it mean? I kind of know what, you know, they were really kind to me, kind of a thing. But I learn a lot from the opposite. Because a lot of times you read the opposite and you're like, ooh, ouch, yeah, that's the, yeah, whatever. You get the yes and the amen and the oh no kind of thing. So this next slide just has the opposite of it. So if you are unkind, you are unfriendly, hostile, and unpleasant. Anyone ever been in a workplace or even in a household maybe where someone has been a little bit hostile or unpleasant? Or have you maybe sometimes been that person? Be careful that you're not nudging too hard to your neighbor beside you, right? Selfish, concerned solely with yourself, inconsiderate, thoughtless. Some of those, when I read them, I'm like, oh yeah, I wasn't very kind, right? I didn't really make it to where I should have been. And why are people kind? These questions you don't really think about usually, right? But the reasons I kind of came up with was they have empathy for others. They're kind because they actually see the other person. They're gentle. They're good. They have self-control because they actually see the other person. And it comes down to an internal attitude of a value. In that verse that we read at the beginning, it said, just as Christ. And that made me stop and kind of think, when Jesus Christ was on this planet, was he kind? I think we all would say yes, right? He would. But what does that look like? How does that play out in real life? How does it go back and forth? And in order to be kind, you really have to see the world through other people's eyes. And we've all heard, and I forget until I come back to this, that the golden rule is actually scripture. Do unto others as they would have them, you would have them do unto you. I forget that it's actually found in Matthew 7, verse 12. It says this, it says, so in everything do to others what you would have them do to you. But we don't always do the next part. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This sums up the law and the prophets. So when we say that verse, we're talking about the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We're talking about the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 minor prophets are summed up in this one verse that says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think all of us would prefer that people were kind to us, right? We don't think about it very often. So how kind have you been this week? How kind are you on a daily basis? I can think of people that it just seems to come natural to them. As I was reading, there's people even in this congregation that I would just find them as a kind person. And partially because they're just that, I don't know why. And maybe you don't know why either, but what does that mean? There's other people that I've had through my life in different situations that I could say, that person's just not very kind. They say a lot of truthful things, but they're not very kind in the way that they do it. And we're going to keep going ahead and kind of define what that means to be kind to each other. And I'm not a Greek scholar. I never took Greek in college. Sometimes now I wish that I had. It was a tough course, but I wish I could go back. But I do like to look into some of that kind of thing. And in the Greek, the act of being kind goes even deeper. It's kind of more of a giving a part of yourself. When you're kind to someone, it's a little bit of a sacrifice. It's a little bit of denying and setting yourself aside so that you can be kind because you recognized and noticed the other person. And hey, you know what? I'm going to pick up that hat that fell. Or you know what? That person pulled and cut me off. I'm just going to back off and let them go. It's a little bit of taking that frustration and anger inside of you, right, that says, it's about me. And stopping and saying, you know what, I'm going to, in this moment, exude the fruit of the spirit of kindness. Because God, you've filled me with that fruit. It doesn't mean 100% of the time conforming to other people, because real relationships don't work like that, right? It means displaying value of other people. And Ephesians 4:15 is another verse that I have up there. If we could read this together. 1, 2, 3. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. When I started, I did a lot of music. I helped out with different ministries with Youth for Christ. I helped out here at Bethel. Actually, while Mike Gordon was the youth pastor, I was helping out here in the background and always kind of doing music on the side. I enjoyed doing music and I enjoyed doing ministry, but I always had a hard job kind of making the jump to asking people to sponsor me and raising funds and that kind of thing. But this is the one verse that kind of came at me when I started doing youth here at Bethel, is to be able to speak the truth in love. Some people are really good at speaking the truth. They will tell you the truth, but by the time they are done, you will feel this small and you will be so angry at that person that spoke the truth into your life, you'll want to punch them. Other people are really good at loving you to death, right? But they won't tell you the truth. They'll tell you everything you want to hear. They'll tell you everything, you know, oh, it's great, it's good, it's fine, right? But Jesus somehow had a way of putting the truth together with love and speaking it in a way that was meaningful. And the people that heard it said, you know what? Yeah, I felt something inside of me that was burning. I felt something inside of me that felt like, you know what? He wasn't driving me over the head like a hammer. But he was speaking to the inside of me, and something inside of me was lifting up and saying, I could do better because that person believes in me. And that's kind of what kindness is like, I think. Jesus sees it in our hearts. He says he stamped the image of Christ on our hearts. And he sees that in each and every one of us and stamps it. And when we're unkind, we kind of get that, ooh, ouch, I shouldn't have. Or maybe you're the person that doesn't even know you're unkind. And you're the person that has to speak the truth, but speak it in love. And when I was with Youth of Mission, they did a whole teaching on opposites. Kind of jumping ahead here a little bit, but they do a whole teaching on opposites, right? And say, you know what, if someone's responding to you in anger, then respond in the opposite, in calmness. If someone is responding to you in hatred, then don't respond with hatred, respond with love. And Pastor Len used to say it in the way that he would say, you know, don't let that, what that person is doing, define who you are. It defines who they are. When they're doing this or they're yelling or they're screaming or they're stealing or they're cutting you off in traffic, that's defining who they are. But the second you start responding in that same spirit, that starts to define who you are. And being kind doesn't necessarily mean being walked over, but being kind means I'm going to define who I am. And that comes from the Holy Spirit speaking into our hearts. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit breathing into each and every one of us. It says, instead of speaking the truth. And so I thought, instead of what? So I went back one verse, verse 14. It says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. To me, that just kind of spoke of confidence. You're not thrown this way and that way. You're kind, right? Every time someone pushes your button, it isn't all of a sudden, wah, right? You're like consistent. You're smooth. You've kind of come to the place where you've said, God, spoke into me, pour into me. God, help me to be kind. Help me to be loving. Help me to be patient. Help me to be true. God, that is what love is. Paul writes in the beginning, he's writing from prison. So he's not necessarily writing in the best of environment, right? He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. To be kind comes from an inner attitude that has a respect for others. It speaks the truth. It speaks it in love. And you are walking worthy of the calling God has placed on your life. The calling that God has placed. Paul from prison said, you're worthy of the calling that God has placed on your life. God has called us to be people who are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, with love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. When people look at you on Monday morning, do they say, that's a kind person that's walking worthy of the calling? They respect me, they tell me the truth, and I feel like they love me. I feel like they have compassion. And like I said, I'm preaching as much to myself. When I do this, I'm like, oh yeah, I could do better there. I could do better there. So we all need to be challenged on the simple things of life as well, right? Kind of this illustration I came across that makes a little bit of sense and helps me is just three different objects. If you have a rock that's flint, and you have a sponge that's pliable, and you have honeycomb. If you have that rock that's flint, to get anything out of it, I have a striker at home that lights my propane torch, and it's got flint in it. I think it's flint in it. I'm going to say that it's flint in it. And you strike it, right? And it rubs against each other. And if you take a hammer and strike at flint, you get the sparks. And sponges, if you fill them with water, you give them a squeeze, right? And you get some water out of them. And the honeycomb, it just kind of overflows with honey. As the bees produce, as everything goes the way it should, it just kind of overflows with honey. And kindness should not be like flint. It should not be you hammer it into the person, right? Be kind to your sister. Be kind to your boss. Speak well of everyone around you. Do it or else I will take away this or that or the other thing, right? And some people are kind, but you kind of have to squeeze it a bit out of them. You give them a little, oh, okay, you know, I'll do it. I have to, whatever the... But some people just seem to, like I said, there's people that come to my mind that I'm like, that person to me is kind. And I can't really put a finger on it. It's just kind of like it overflows. Just they seem to naturally, it isn't natural. It's the Holy Spirit working in through them. And some people have a gift that steps out in that direction. Others of us have to work at it a little harder. And our gifts kind of fight against kindness a little bit. But it's something that just kind of comes out of them, right? But if we need to say, you know what, God, all of us should be kind. All of us should be honest. All of us should be pure. All of us should be working toward those goals that God has put in each and every one of us. To be kind is listed in Galatians, as I said at the beginning, the fruit of the Spirit. It's also listed in 1 Corinthians. It says, love is patient. And the very second thing, it says, love is kind. Do you love your children? Do you love your spouse? Do you love your job? In all of those situations, is there kindness? Or is there spots this morning where the Holy Spirit's kind of putting a little bit of, oh, God, I need an attitude change this morning. God, I need you to pour into me. And as I think about it, I think of, we've done lots of gardens in our life, and they don't necessarily go that well. I enjoy getting out there with the tractor and tilling up the ground and taking the little tiller and tilling it a second time and getting it all pliable and nice and going and getting some fertilizer, some manure and throwing it out over the garden and raking it in and then tilling it all again and getting the soil ready. But after that, I'm like, I don't really care too much. Marina likes kind of decorating it. She likes kind of putting little tiles down and little signs, you know, strawberries. strawberry patch and all this kind of stuff. So it looks really pretty. And Marina's mom really enjoys coming and helping and having the girls plant the garden with her, right? So we probably have done gardens for four or five. The last 2 years, we've kind of just given up and sowed it to grass because we're gone a lot in the summer and we don't enjoy the weeding and the tending and we're not around. So when it comes to harvest time, we don't get much out of that garden, right? Because we've done a lot of things at the beginning, but then we've kind of let it slack. And kindness is kind of like that. In a garden, we don't expect a lot of fruit out of it unless we put in the stuff. We love when we see the great strawberry or the great watermelon or the great patch of peas or whatever it is, right? But we don't necessarily notice all the work that's gone into weeding. And kindness, I think, is kind of like that. It's not something you can just kind of pick up and say, okay, now I'm kind. It's taking those moments in God saying, God, pour into my heart. God, pour into my life. God, take out the broken. Take out the shame. Take out the this. And God, pour into me kindness. And God, help me. And God, I'm going to make a step. And that person's really ticking me off. But I'm going to be kind to them. I'm going to do something that's going to help them feel like they are being touched with kindness. They're being touched with respect. I'm speaking the truth, but I'm doing it in love. And I'm walking worthy of that calling that God has placed on my life. I saw this poster that you can put up there. It just said, it's one thing to be taught kindness. It's another thing to be touched by kindness. You've got the little child or the adult, whatever, with the umbrella, right? Holding up the umbrella, and they're teaching kindness. But that little child who all of a sudden has that umbrella covering her or him is being touched by kindness. And we enjoy being touched by kindness, and we need to say, you know what, God, help me to be more like that on a day-to-day basis. Help me to walk in that direction. The story's kind of told of this guy that was named George, and he was a peacemaker with a big heart and a wonderful sense of humor. Everyone loved George at church. He was respectful at the hospital where he worked. The reason why so many people love George is because he was always kind and respectful to everyone he met. And his children came into his hospital room one day when he was coming to the end of his life, and he was just kind of talking and having conversation with them. And the administrator of the hospital where he had worked for 40 years came in and had a conversation with them, and George was very kind and respectful, and the family could tell they're really good friends, and he really respected each other, and they really had a relationship throughout these 40 years where the administrator was willing to come down and speak to George in the hospital room and say, you know what, George, I'm sorry you're going through this, but just we're thinking of you, right? And then he left, and the janitor came in who was cleaning up and comes over to George's bed and has a big conversation once again. And his janitor's been there for a long time working with George, and they're having a conversation and talking back and forth and respectful, and they've had a good time and joking a little bit and kind of funny. Oh, you remember the time, you know, and this kind of thing. And then he eventually leaves, and the children kind of realize that there's a relationship there. And then when he leaves, they say to her dad, Dad, do you realize that you treated the administrator the same as you treated the janitor, with kindness, with respect, with honor? And he said, yeah, I try to, as best as I can, be kind and truthful to people. And he said to them, you know what, if the administrator was gone for 3 weeks and the janitor was gone for 3 weeks, what would you notice first, that the administrator was gone or that the janitor was gone? He said, most people would notice the janitor was gone. But every single day they are doing something in the background, and every single day they're doing something, and I realized that and respected that, and I spoke into that, and that's the kind of person that he was. George had an inner value of people that translated into kindness because he had respect, he spoke the truth, but he did it in love, and he walked worthy of that calling at church, also at work, and wherever he went, people saw him as a kind, respectful person. Matthew 5:41, the Bible says that if you're required to go 1 mile, go the second mile. And I used to really fight with that. And if you're required to give your cloak, your jacket, give them your shirt as well. I used to kind of fight with it. That's kind of dumb or whatever. But now I kind of understand it and realize it is that God is saying, if you're required to do something, don't let that define your life. Let the extra mile, the generosity, define your life. If you are required to do this, if you're required to do that, that's great. But then say, hey, you know what? Can I do this too? and you're exuberating? I don't know, exuberating? Yell that out if you know how to say it. Exuding, whatever. Anyways, you are stepping and saying, I'm going to be defined by being kind. I was forced to do this, and I didn't like it, and it frustrated me. But I'm going to do this as a definition of who I am, of the calling that I've been called to. Let kindness define your life no matter what others do. And the Bible says in many places, as it did in that verse back a couple of, it says to prefer one another. And this is some of the ways that we can be kind. I'll take a deep breath. Prefer one another, love one another, confess one to another, encourage one another, forgive one another, have compassion one to another, wash one another's feet, honor one another, live in harmony one with another, accept one another, instruct one another, greet one another, agree with one another, encourage one another, bear with one another, submit to one another, spur one another on, offer hospitality one to another, and live with humility one to another. So there's your checklist this morning. If you want to take a picture of that slide, and this week, see if you can prefer, see if you can love, see if you can confess, see if you can encourage, see if you can forgive, see if you can be compassionate, see if you can wash, see if you can honor, see if you can live in harmony, and check them off as you go and say, I'm going to be a kind person, and I've checked this one off, I've checked this one off. And maybe it's an exercise to start with, but maybe it starts to grow into who you are and who you've been called to be. Kindness means being considerate, courteous, helpful, and understanding of others while being authentic and truthful, but showing care, compassion, friendship, and generosity as it comes from the spirit of the person, which ultimately comes from the spirit of God, working in the person growing up into the image of Christ that is stamped on all of us. And that image, for me, I've kind of tried to define a little bit as respect, as speaking the truth, not just being a, oh, that's great, whatever person, but doing it in love so that that person still feels built up and walking worthy of that calling that we have been called to be kind as Jesus was kind. And there's times where he had to get into hard situations, but still there's something in him that did both, that was able to speak the truth and speak it in love. So the challenge this morning as we begin to kind of wrap it up is how are you tending your garden? Or as I said, I'm always preaching to myself. How am I tending my garden? How am I taking care of that image of kindness that has been stamped on my heart that is supposed to be a representation as Christ did this, I'm supposed to do it as well. How am I doing at taking care of that of pouring into my heart, spending my time in prayer, spending my time with God, spending in time with the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, pour into me the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness. Or am I walking through life and just kind of hoping that there is an apple on the tree, but I've never done anything to produce that apple behind the scenes or below the ground kind of a thing, ground surface. This morning, the master chiseler is looking deep inside, and he can see the image of himself stamped there with the spirit of kindness. But how much needs to be chiseled away? That's the question I tried to answer myself. How much needs to be chiseled? If you had to pick a number from 1 to 10, if 10 meant you were like, nothing needs to be chiseled away, I'm the most kind person in the world, then maybe you should ask your spouse if you should get a number 10. Or your boss, your employer, or somebody, right? Or would you say, you know what, I feel like this morning the Holy Spirit's speaking that I'm a 4. And God, would you please chisel away some of the outer shell of self and of unfriendliness and of hostility and of anger and of all the things we kind of said at the beginning there were the opposite of kindness. To get there, we need to open up to him to work on us as we mature and become more like Christ. And I'm going to end with this one story that I'm going to read because I'm not the greatest at remembering stories. Like Pastor Mike, I find, is just great at telling stories, right? He can just tell a story off the cuff, but maybe he's told the same story 50 times before, and that's why he's good at it. So I've never told this story before, but I related to it when I came across it because I actually worked as a taxi driver here in Brandon with ABC Cabs for 2 years, driving taxi back and forth. And at that point, some of you would remember Mike Waddell. I was with Youth for Christ, and I was helping a lot at Youth for Christ. And Mike Waddell and I both did music and played acoustic guitars, and we ended up going into a lot of the high schools and doing assemblies and singing songs that we'd written and sharing the gospel, not blatantly, but sharing the gospel in a way. And we were called Mike and the Taxi Man. So Mike was the Mike, and I was the Taxi Man. And we had pictures of us on the railway. I don't know why we did it on the railway, because we were taxi drivers. But anyways, this is the story from a taxi driver that to me, just kind of sums up everything I've been trying to say and tells a story of kindness. He says this: because I drive the night shift, my cab often becomes a moving confessional. Passengers climb in, sit behind me in total anonymity, and tell me about their lives. I am encouraged by people whose lives amaze me. Some make me laugh, and others make me weep. A late night in August was a night I will never forget. I responded to a call from a small brick fourplex in a quiet part of town. I assumed I was being sent to pick up some partiers or someone who had just had a fight with a lover or a worker headed to an early shift at some factory in an industrial part of town. When I arrived at 2:30 a.m., the building was dark except for a single light on the ground floor window. Under those circumstances, many drivers would just honk once or twice, then drive away. But I had seen too many impoverished people who depended on taxis as their only means of transportation. Unless the situation smelled of danger, I always go to the door. This passenger might be somebody who needs my assistance, I reasoned to myself. So I walked to the door and knocked. Just a minute, answered a frail, elderly voice. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her late 80s stood before me. She was wearing a printed dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned onto it, like somebody out of a 1940s movie. In the corner was a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. Would you carry my bag to the car? She asked. I took the bag and then turned to a sister. She took my arm and we walked slowly towards the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. It's nothing, I told her. I just try to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother treated. Oh, you're such a good boy, she said. When we got to the cab, she gave me the address and then asked, could we drive through downtown? It's not the quickest way, I said quick. It's not the shortest way, I said quickly. Oh, I don't mind, she said. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice. It's a place that cares for those nearing the end of their life. I looked in the rearview mirror. Her eyes were glistening. I don't have any family left, she continued, and the doctor says I don't have very long. I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. What route would you like me to take? I asked. For the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she asked me to slow in front of a particular building and would sit staring into the darkness, saying nothing. At the first hint of sun cresting on the horizon, she suddenly said, I'm tired. Let's go now. I knew I wouldn't make it through this one. I practice at home. I'm tired, let's go now. We drove in silence to the address she had given me. Two orderlies came out to the cab, and as soon as we pulled up, they were concerned and intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her. I opened the trunk, took the small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. How much do I owe you? She asked, reaching into her purse. Nothing, I replied. You have to make a living, she answered. There are other passengers, I responded, and almost without thinking, I bent and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. You gave an old woman a little moment of joy, she said. Thank you. I squeezed her hand and then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a life. I didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. I drove, lost in thought. for the rest of that day. What if that woman had gotten an angry driver or one that was impatient and at the end of their shift? What if I had refused to take the run or had honked once and then driven away? I don't think I've done anything more meaningful in my life. We're conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments. However, great moments often catch us unaware, beautifully wrapped in what others may consider as a small, insignificant moment of kindness. There's parts of that story that I look at and I say, yeah, I've been like that. There's other parts of that story that I read and I'm like, ah, I haven't been anything like that. Been impatient, been rude, been harsh spoken. And other parts I look at it and say, you know, when I drove taxi, you know, some of that stuff I did, you know, I enjoyed helping people with their groceries and whatever, right? And there's moments in our life, I think all of us, where we say, yeah, that's the part I want people to see. But there's also moments in our life where we kind of look and we say, that's the part I don't want people to see. But God sees. And this morning as we end, I just want to pray a prayer and say, God, would you chisel away that outer self, that outer unfriendliness, that outer harshness, that outer whatever it might be. And God, reveal in me the fruit of the Spirit. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Mike spoke about goodness. Last week, we heard about Compassion Canada. And I don't know if Logan mentioned it during the announcements or not, but there was 16 kids that were sponsored last Sunday. So that changes a world. That changes a person. There might be 16 Lemanuels in 20, 30 years who have gone through school and are speaking and sharing the gospel in churches and wherever because of decisions that people made last week, right? Counting the cost for ourselves and respecting others, speaking the truth in love, and doing it so that we are worthy of the calling. Can you put the next, we got the verse that we spoke here at the beginning here. Can we read this together one last time? 1, 2, 3. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I like to kind of end with a prayer that if you want to pray along with me, it's going to be a very simple prayer, but if you're here this morning and you want to pray it along with me out loud in a few seconds, I'm just going to read it and then I'll just read it kind of a couple lines and we can read it together. But God, chisel away the outer shell of self and reveal within me the image of Christ, an image so that others may see kindness. I'll read it once more and then I'll get to you if they want to pray it along with me. God, chisel away the outer shell of self and reveal within me the image of Christ, an image so that others may see kindness. I'll give you a couple of words, and then if you want to respond after me, feel free to do that. You don't have to, but you're welcome to. So God, chisel away the outer shell of self and reveal within me the image of Christ, an image so that others may reap kindness. One thing I love about Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit is you go through the whole thing and at the end it says, against such there is no law. There's a law that you can only go 110 kilometers on the Trans-Canada, but there is no law that says you cannot be as kind as you want to be. There is no law that says you cannot be as loving as you want to be. There's no law that says you cannot be as patient. You are being too patient. You are getting a ticket for being too patient. So the Holy Spirit says, be as kind as you possibly can. And when you possibly can't, continue to say, Holy Spirit, do a work in me. So God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for each and every person's here. God, I thank you for the opportunities that we've had where each and every one of us in this room have had an opportunity to be kind. And God, we may not have even noticed it, but God, people have been touched by kindness because of who we are. Sometimes it's just because of who we are. Other times it's because we are a Christian and God, we've made the choice to say, just as Christ, I'm going to respond in the opposite spirit. Right now, I feel like this. But God, because of your word, I'm going to be like this. I'm going to be defined by generosity, not defined by what I'm forced to do. So God, this morning as we leave this place, may we leave with a new, renewed desire to respect those around us. I got a new desire to speak the truth and not cower and be thrown this way or that way or the other way, but to be confident. But God, to do it in a spirit of love where just like you see into our hearts and our spirits and you speak into us. And God, we know that person cares for us and they are speaking the truth. God, help us to speak the truth in love. And God, help us to walk worthy of that calling. The calling of our Savior and our Lord, who just as in Christ, God forgave us. Just as in Christ, may we be kind. Just as in Christ, may we be compassionate. Just as in Christ, may we be forgiving. So Father, we give you the honor, we give you the glory today. We thank you for an opportunity to be together, and we just pray that you go with us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, please head over to bethelbrandon.ca to listen to our older messages or maybe connect with us and figure out how we can best serve you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.